We're going back to Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. And we're talking about the concept now. We've talked about the Christ. We spent a couple of weeks just talking about Christ out of Colossians 1. And then we spent 3 weeks talking about the Christ follower out of Colossians 2 and portions of Colossians 3. So now we're going to talk about the Christ culture and what that means in a Christ community. Now, when I say Christ community, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, first of all, what we're going to look at tonight is the body of believers, the body of Christ, the Christ community. I'm not talking so much about right now our dealings with the world. We'll get into that later. And we're also going to get into how we should live in our homes and what that should look like and how we should participate in the workforce and in the community around us. But tonight we're going to talk about how we should interact with one another, with the body of Christ, with those that we are together with. And when we talk about the body of Christ, we are talking about a couple of things. We're talking about, first and foremost, the body of Christ as a whole. How many of you know the body of Christ is much bigger than just River Life Church? It's much bigger than just the Church of God. It's much bigger than just the Pentecostal denominations or just the non-denomination denominations or any of those. It's much bigger than just evangelicals, or it's much bigger than, it is worldwide, takes all shapes and forms. It is those who put their faith in Jesus Christ that are a part of the body of Christ. Okay, they are born again, redeemed, purchased by Christ. He is their Lord and Savior. And the Bible talks about how we should live within that community. And it's important that we understand this. Just as, and there's a huge push today, and I completely agree with it, and I'm totally on board with it, but all you hear talked about today, for the most part, in churches is how we should deal with the world. Okay? I'm 100% in agreement with that. I understand that. How we should deal with lost people. I talk about that a lot myself. How we should be gracious and how we should be merciful and how we should be loving and not judgmental. And all that is vital because there are lost people, people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, and they don't need to be judged by the church. People who are just sinners but saved by grace, no longer sinners now, but are the righteousness of God in Christ. But they don't need our judgment, and that's very important that we understand that. The world around us does not need our judgment. They need our love and our compassion. But having said that, there is also something that is left out in the church world today, and that is, how are we supposed to live together with the body of Christ? So we have the body of Christ as a whole, this worldwide body, and then we have the body of Christ broken down into those maybe that we are more closely associated with, such as that's where denominations would come in or groups would come in, and that's where the local churches begin to come in. That's where you as River Life Church come in. There is a biblical way that we should live together in the Christ community. And we need to understand this because it is important to understand how we should think of one another, how we should live together, how we should help one another, and what we should not do when it comes to the Christ community. And Paul's going to address that in this letter to the church at Colossae, and I think it's important for us tonight. We're going to look at four areas tonight. Is all we're going to focus on, four areas tonight of importance that the book of Colossians, the third chapter, brings out in how we should live in the Christ community. Let's jump into this. Let's start at verse 1, Colossians 3, verse 1. Here's what Paul is saying. If then, this is kind of the key phrase of Colossians. Everything's built around this phrase. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Okay, that's kind of the central theme of Colossians that we've been looking at this whole entire time. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. So we are to set our mind not on things on this earth. So the Christ is vital. Set your mind on the things above where Christ is. So Christ must be preeminent. Set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on what He's accomplished for you. Set your mind on what He's doing through you and allowing Him to live through you. Don't set your mind on things of the earth. The things of the earth, the ways of the world, the situations around you. Don't dwell there. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, this is a hard concept for us, because what Paul is saying to us is the life that we've been given, the Lord comes into us and changes us, sends His Spirit to enable us to live, let Christ live through us here, but our life is hidden with God in Christ. So we look to that. We don't look at where we are now. We don't look at the circumstances around us. We look to the understanding that in Christ I am complete. Okay, that's hard sometimes for people to get their mind around. But he says, when Christ, who is our life, there's coming a day when Christ, who is our life, is going to appear. Okay? And then we will appear with Him in glory. We will be seen for who we really are in Christ. Right now, it's just a shadow. Right now, it's like we see through a glass dimly. That's what Paul would say. Vaguely. We don't see the whole picture. We know it's there, but we don't see the whole picture. But there's coming a day when we will live forever in what Jesus has accomplished in us, and it will be unhindered by any limits that this world has put on us, that the curse of sin upon our world has put on us. When Christ appears, we will appear with Him in glory. We will have glorified bodies. We will live with Him forevermore. We're not just floating on clouds. We are living. The Bible says we will rule and reign. We will live like we have never understood living before. Some people say, "Why? You know, why would I want to go to heaven? It seems boring. It doesn't really say what we're going to do." You've never lived like you'll live in that moment. But our life is hidden right now in God, in Christ, with God, but there's coming a day it will be magnified. Now, verse 5. Now, since we have a Christ, a Savior, since we are now Christ followers and Christ is living in us and the Spirit of God is empowering us to live, then there are some things that should begin to happen, and they deal with us personally and they deal with us in the Christ community, within the church, within the body. Here's what he said, verse 5. Therefore, because of this, okay, therefore, because these things have happened, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. That's not talking about people, okay? Put to death those actions and those ways that are earthly, that are fleshly, because that's not who you are anymore. So don't live in those. Quit trying to justify living in fleshly ways. Quit trying to justify old addictions and old ways of living. Quit trying to say, well, it's just a weakness. It's just who I am, and I just can't help it. You can't help it, but Christ did help it. He completed it, and He sent His Spirit to help us live victorious over it. So put that to death. How do we do that? He's told us already, by keeping our mind on Christ, by looking to things above, not on the things of this earth. So therefore, we're not bringing back to life the things of the earth, the way we once lived, the problems of our flesh. We are focused on Christ. So he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then he names some of them: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You once walked in these things when that's what you lived in, but you no longer live in them. You now live in Christ. So put those things to death. Okay? This is not meant to be a comprehensive list. But this is meant to be a list of things that people can relate to understand. That's how I used to live. That used to be the focus of my life. Now, what this has to do with in the context of the Christ community is this. This is speaking of the way we value others. Now let's look at that. These are actions, and he's talking to believers, but these are actions and these are ways of living that will damage your value of others in the body of Christ, in the Christ community. Now let's break that down just a little bit. Because look what he mentions, look what he says. Okay, put these things to death. Fornication. I mean, no, fornication, you don't fornicate by yourself. Right? It takes somebody else. That's sex outside of marriage. That's all sorts of deviance. That's all sorts of sexual immorality. That mindset of fornication. And so that's dealing with how we value others. Amen. Sexual immorality is a problem of not valuing others. And when it comes into the life of the believer, when we have Christians in the Christ followers that are still living in these things, when they are supposed to be put to death and we're supposed to be living in Christ, they are lacking a value of others in the Christ community. Amen. Now, I know that's kind of a sticky issue, so just hang with me a little bit. He said, put these things to death, and then he begins to give us these things. Fornication is one thing that he mentions. Another one is uncleanness. That's just all sorts of wickedness and wicked thoughts and wicked actions and passions. He says uncleanness and passion and evil desire and covetousness. This is how we look at others. This is what we think of others. This is what our value of others. We are thinking of ourselves, but not of anyone else. And we are not to live that way in the Christ community. The reason being is he said these things are idolatry. You're not putting God first. You're not putting your brother and sister first. You are creating an idol of yourself. It's all about you. So you're not valuing others. You're not putting a value on the body of Christ, on the Christ community, on others that are around you, or even on Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished. You are devaluing, dehumanizing everyone around you when that's the way you live your life. And so Paul says, put these things to death. You're not living in them anymore. Quit devaluing the Christ community that you are now a part of. Quit seeing other people as objects. Quit seeing their stuff as objects that you need to have, that you're coveting. We wish we had what others had. So somebody comes in the church and they've been blessed and they've got something new. And rather than rejoicing with them like the Bible tells us to do in the Christ community, we are envious and we covet it. And we say, well, why did they get that and I didn't get it? I deserve that as much as them. And they sure didn't do anything to deserve that. And you're taking value off of God blessing them. Seeing others as sexual satisfaction is devaluing them outside of marriage. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Everybody breathing? Everybody okay? Evil desires, passion. Having all of that. Now, passion doesn't mean a passion for God there, obviously. It means that deviant passion that is alive in those that are still living in this, trapped in this old way of life. They're not allowing Christ. They're not looking to Jesus. They're not allowing him to live through them. They're not listening to the Spirit guiding them. They're not in the Word to see what it is that Christ has brought for us. And rather, they are all about themselves. And by doing that, when you live life for yourself, you damage how you value others. And do you know Jesus places a large priority on how you value others? Am I not? He puts a large priority on that. It is not something that we can pick and choose. He tells us to love one another. He tells us to put our brother before ourselves, to not take advantage of them. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, he says, therefore be imitators of God. Verse 2, he says, walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. And verse 3, but fornication, there it is again, and all uncleanness or covetousness, three of the same things, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. He's talking to the church. He's saying, don't make room. This is dead. That's old living. That's old lifestyle. That's what you came out of. That's what Christ redeemed you out of. Okay? That's not to condemn you. It is to say you're not living in the salvation that Christ purchased for you. These are just, like I said, this is not a comprehensive list. We can go down the line and name all sorts of things that we do that devalues others. But these get the point across. He says in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, remember? That's what Paul said to the church at Colossae also. He said, it's idolatry. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He's talking to believers, and he's telling us, you're dead to that old way of living. Mortify, put away the old deeds of the flesh, and let Christ live through you and give you a high value of others in the Christ community. Quit taking advantage of one another. There are ways that we are to treat one another. And the first way is this. We are to let Christ walk through us in such a way that we value others above ourselves. Because that's what Jesus did. When he came, he was not about himself. He was about his Father's business. And he was about meeting the needs of others before meeting the needs of himself. He valued others. So you and I need to pray and ask the Lord to give us the value for others that he has. And we need to open ourselves to that. And we need to remind ourselves, anything that devalues others is a part of the old life that is dead. The old man that is no longer. So when I get judgmental on other people, I'm devaluing them as God's creation. When I make judgment calls on other people, I'm taking a value off of them that God has put on them. How many of you understand God has valued every person? We got this crazy thing going in our culture today, the U.S. culture, over what lives matter. And there was a politician here not long ago, stood up, and he was in a statement, making a statement, and he said, black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter. And the people there started booing him off the stage, and he had to come out and apologize for saying all lives matter. Well, I'm not going to apologize for saying this. Every life matters. Doesn't matter the color of skin, doesn't matter what social status they have, doesn't matter who they are, what they're involved in. Every person matters. And when it comes to the Christian, we must value others and see the value God has put in them. And when it comes to the Christ community, we most certainly must value one another. Because your brothers and sisters, they're struggling through their walk just like you are. Just like I am. Amen? I mean, no, we struggle with our walk. And the reason is our flesh fights. That old nature fights. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus for a moment, that old nature tries to rear up. And every person is fighting that fight of faith to keep their eyes focused upon Christ, allowing the Spirit. And so we don't pass judgment on our brothers and sisters. I've heard it said, the church are the only ones that shoot their wounded. Let that never be said about River Life Church. Because if you're wounded, you are valued in this place. Because I'm wounded. And without Christ, I have no hope. So why would I put you down? And maybe I don't agree with what you're doing or the lifestyle you're living. But that's not going to bring a lesser value on you in God's eyes nor in my eyes. Amen. And so therefore, you are not an object. To me, the biggest thing we can pull from these first few verses that we've looked at is other people in the Christ community, and it's in the world, but we're specifically focused on the Christ community. Other people in the Christ community are not objects for us to determine things about them. They are not to be used by us for our purposes. That is idolatry. That is setting ourselves up as God. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be God. Amen. Because God shares His glory with no one, the Bible says. So I don't want to play God because I'm not God. And so we better have a high value on others. Do you know in our church when we're all gathered together, our entire body, and there's a lot more that are a part of our church than you see tonight or you see on a Sunday morning. There are people that consider River Life Church their church that we may not see them very often at all. But you know what? They have just as much value as you and I. And they are not objects for us to manipulate and to use to get what we want. That this is the problem in the one of the problems of the church world. This is what the world sees us, and they see ministers and they say, oh, they're just duping those poor people. They're using those people to get rich. They're using those people to build their kingdom. And sadly, they are judging rightly in many cases. Because we've got far too many that call themselves ministers of the gospel that are more about manipulation and lifting themselves up than they are about Jesus Christ. And if they are doing that, they are idolaters. And the world is looking at that, and they're saying, they call us sheeple. Just whatever the preacher says, they just follow along and do whatever he tells them to do. Well, they haven't looked at our church. Y'all don't do anything I tell you to do. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, careful now, right now. They look at us and they say, oh, they're just gullible. They just do whatever. Well, you are not people to be manipulated for my gain. You are not people to be manipulated for some superstar preacher to make a name for himself. Amen. You're not a congregation that a pastor should come in and do things so he can get a big promotion out of it. That becomes idolatry, and it devalues each other. Amen. We're not here just to build your business. It's all right. I believe we should have a part, and we should take a part. And if you're a business person, we would love for you to expand that business and allow your church family and brothers and sisters to be a part of that. But this body is not just to be people that build your business. We're not just a dating service. Amen. And I can't think of any greater place that you could find your mate or you could find someone than in the house of the Lord and as a part of your body. So I'm not against that. I'm just saying that's not our purpose. When we make that our focus, we devalue one another. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. You want to hear what Jesus said about this? You know, it had fornication in there and uncleanness and passions. And Jesus would say, you know, you've heard that it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I'm going to take it even one step farther. You shouldn't even look on another person with lust in your heart. For if you have, you've already committed adultery or you've already devalued them in your heart. Amen. You've heard it said, you shall not murder and you shall not hate. But I'll say, if you even look at them with hatred in your heart, You're already devaluing them. And so as the Christ community, we have to keep a high value on one another. Remember that. You have a responsibility with every person. And all we can do is locally, and then we can reach out around the world. But who do we touch the most? The people that we are with consistently, which is our church family. So you and I have a responsibility to value one another highly. How many know if you have a high value on someone, if they mess up? How many of you have high value on your kids? Did any of your kids ever mess up when they were little, or even when they're not little? No. And you know what? But you know what? Because I have such a high value on them, I'm going to stick with them. And I'm going to love them. And I'm going to help them. And I'm going to walk with them. And I'm going to work. We should value one another like that. Why? Because God does. And because God values us that way. Okay? So that's first. Now, let's just trudge on. Second thing that he says. And let's look at verses 8 and 9 of Colossians 3. Because then he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay, he's going to go another direction now. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? So, not only are we to have a high value of one another, the second thing I want to talk to you about is we are to be concerned for one another. These things talk about a lack of concern for our brothers and sisters. I'm not concerned about Jason, so I'll lie to him so I can get what I want. Okay? I'm not really concerned about him. I'm concerned about me. So what happens if you don't value one another, then you'll quit being concerned and compassionate for one another. Amen. And in the Christ community, that's not how Christ lived and lives, and that's not how he will live through us. And look what he said in verse 8. He said, now, put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, unconcerned about others. I've got a right to say whatever comes into my mind. If you don't like it, I'm just speaking the truth. If you lose your concern for one another, you're not allowing Christ to live through you. If you take the value off of one another, and we make our brothers or our sisters in Christ objects and subjects for us, and things that we set our passions on and our uncleanness on, and those type of things, we devalue them, and then we lose concern and compassion. Amen. And this is not how the Christ community should operate. In the Christ community, now you're not, some of you may not like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. In the Christ community, you have no right to have outbursts of wrath and anger with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Or in church services. Or in church meetings. Amen. I'm getting there sometimes. Amen. I have walked out of services, I kid you not, as a pastor. I've walked out of services where God was doing amazing things and people were being saved and people were being filled. People have been delivered. God had just been moving mightily. And I walked out of services, and rather than people talking about what God did, the first thing I was hit with were the things they didn't like about the service. And they were mad about it and angry about it. You have lost concern for the Christ community, and you are out of order. Amen. Is that a little too tight for us? Now, it wasn't any of y'all, so you don't have to worry about it. So, but we need to be concerned, not hurt one another. Do you know your words can hurt one another? Do you know your outbursts of anger can hurt people? I'm going Friday morning. My uncle, my dad's oldest brother, passed away. Friday morning is the funeral. I'm going to that funeral Friday morning, and my Uncle Bill, raised in a pastor's home, was turned away to the church, from the church. Because he had been affected negatively by reactions from the church. You don't think your words can hurt people? We got people all around us tonight that used to go to church, but some good church people got mad, blew off the stack, and said some horrible things to them, and they've related that to Christ, and they said, I'll never go back. I don't know about you. I don't want that on my head. I want the care and concern for one another like Christ had. Now, is there time we have to speak plainly and truthfully? Sure. Is there time we'll disagree? Absolutely. But my goodness, if we can't disagree like Christians, something's wrong with either you or me, one or both of us. It's a lack of care and a lack of compassion. In the Christ community, we are to react with compassion and care for one another. Genuine, not false care. Genuine care. To where what I say is going to process through my mind, because I don't want to just say anything for what it might do to you. Amen? How many know we'd get along a whole lot better if we'd react that way? Here's the thing, we get mad at people and we say things and we blow off the handle at people and do those things, and we don't take into consideration their background, where they've come from, what they've been through, what drove them to do what they did. All we know is we don't like whatever it is they're doing right now. Amen. So we are to keep a high value. People in the Christ community, they're not objects for us. They're not to be manipulated. They're not to be taken advantage of for our own good feelings and our own gain. The value is high, and we are to be concerned for them. We are to put their feelings above our emotions. Amen. This is fun, isn't it? Y'all are quiet tonight. You're just thinking deeply. Absolutely, yes. Living example setting in our church. It absolutely, and it can happen, and it does happen all the time. And so we must have a care and a concern and a compassion for one another. If you lose your compassion for one another in the body of Christ, please don't feel condemned. Pray about it and ask Christ to live through you. Ask the Holy Spirit to point you back to Jesus, to give you that new burden for one another, to give you that love for your fellow brothers and sisters, again, that Christ desires to live through you. Amen. Our world is so much in need of, and our churches are so much in need of this. In Ephesians, again, and Ephesians is a mirror in many ways of Colossians. Colossians, Paul writes and approaches it from Christ as the head. In Ephesians, Paul writes from the church as the body. Okay, so one's the body looking up, the other is from the head looking down. But even though they mirror in many things, they catch along with one another. In Ephesians 4:22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. In verse 25, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That comes from Zechariah, by the way. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands, to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen to me. We have used this scripture in many times only talking about not letting the Spirit of God move through us. But when you read it in context, you know what grieves the Holy Spirit? When we treat one another with no compassion and no care. Amen. So this is where the Christ community should live. Third thing. Verses 10 and 11. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And this is the way you view others. So what's important in the Christ community is the value we place on one another, the concern, care, and compassion we have for one another, and the view we have of one another. See, we are all one in Christ. Turn around and look at a few people. Turn around and look. In this place, we're not all just individuals doing our own thing. Brother Adams, Kenneth Adams, pastored Lakeside Church for 36 years, I think it was, before he retired. Great man, loved Brother Adams, still love him today. Heard him say one time, song he hated more than any other song was "Me and Jesus, We Got Our Own Thing Going." See, because it's not me and Jesus and our own thing going, it's us together. We are one in Christ. We do not have barriers. You may be different than me, but there are no barriers between us. You may have a different background than me. Do you know we've got backgrounds sitting in our church from all over the place? We've got everything from no church background whatsoever to all sorts of denominations, other beliefs, other mindsets, other things, to traditional Church of God, you name them, you name down the list, and we've got some of them. People that used to be, once were considered themselves Catholics, and this or that. We've got a little bit of everything sitting among us. And we may have differences that we have with some of those things in our upbringing, but we're all now one in Christ if Christ is our Lord. Our view of each other is important. We're one. We're not. Well, I'm going to gravitate to the ones like me. No, we're one. And we complete one another. If we have the right view, there's no Jew or Gentile, no status, no heritage, no observance that is more important or less important. Our view. So our value must remain high. Our concern, care, and compassion must be genuine and high for one another, and our view of one another must be that we are one in Christ. When I see you, I should see Jesus. Amen. I shouldn't see the things that I disagree with you about. I should see Jesus. My view of you must change. Let me say this. Do you know we have a lot of people sitting in churches that their life has never experienced the change Christ wanted to bring them because of the view of themselves and the way the church viewed them was never what it should be. And therefore they live in failure and struggle, feel condemned, feel beat up because they don't view themselves well, and sadly too many in the church doesn't view them well. Our view is important. You know, someone sitting around you tonight or on Sunday, they may be someone that needs somebody to see them as one in Christ. Oh, but Pastor, do you know what they do? Do you know what I saw them doing? Get a value of them. Have a care for them. And view them as one in Christ. Amen? Because you don't know, they may be telling me, oh, but Pastor, do you know what I saw them doing? Hey, amen. That's a thought for you, huh? Some of y'all have never thought of that before. That's right. Yes, we are. We get back to it all about works if we don't make it here. So you put on this new man, renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And there, we're all one in Christ. We're in His image. When you see one another, see the image of Christ. See the fingerprint of Christ. Amen? We're all unique. How many know fingerprints are all unique? They can identify you because they're all unique. Unless you're James Bond or Tom Cruise, you know, where they can just make fingerprints that match everybody's all the time. We're all unique. Amen. The fingerprint of God in us is all unique. But we got to see the image of Christ. We are image carriers. We are image bearers of Christ. And we need to see that about one another more than anyone else does. Do you know what? People come in here on Wednesday night and they've worked out on their job and they're working with people, and if they're working around non-believers, many times those non-believers are trying to knock them down all week long. They're trying to pick at them and find fault at them and point out all the things that are hypocritical about them claiming to be a Christian. When they come in here, you know what they need? They need a church family and a Christ community that will say, you know what I see in you? I see the image of Christ. That's right. I see that righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, and last thing, and we'll close with this and we're done. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you don't do these things, if you don't let Christ do those things, the peace of God will never be in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the last thing I'm going to say. This is the way we should connect with one another, the way we should benefit one another, and the way we should help one another. And that is by letting Christ live through us and giving us tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. That moment you feel like, I just can't handle that person anymore, is a moment you need to say, Jesus, help me in my weakness. Help me see your image in them, and help me to focus on what you would have me do to bless them. I mean, no, we're supposed to benefit one another. When you come in here, whether any service you come into, every service, we should benefit one another. You should never leave this place feeling like no one benefited you and you benefited no one. It should always be that way. That's how we're to live. So, the Christ community, that's first. It's all about love, and here's the reality. It's only through Christ. All these things we've talked about, the only one that can do it perfectly is Christ. But He wants to do that through you. So He wants to value your brothers and sisters through you. He wants you to see His value on them. He wants you to be concerned and care for them. He wants you to view them in His image. And He wants you to benefit. Lift them up. Edify them. Amen. Christ community. We're going for a Christ culture. Next week we're going to look at what it looks like in our homes and work. And then we're going to look at what it's supposed to be like, our relationship with the world. Tonight, it's with the body of Christ. When's the last time you just took a little time and told one of your brothers and sisters how much you valued them? They may not get that anywhere else. how much you appreciate them. Right? When was the last time you took time to really care for them? To really look past all the other stuff. I've heard people say before, that person, they didn't even smile at me. I mean, they just walked right past me. Can't believe someone can be that rude. But you know what? You have no idea what they may have come in struggling with. Amen? They might have come in and just got off the phone with some of the worst news that they've heard in a long time. And they may have walked in with a million things on their mind, and more than likely, they never even saw you. But because we perceive they didn't act the way we wanted them to act, we're ready to write them off. Now, come on now. That's not the Christ community. How much better would it be if someone seems that distracted, if you just go on over to them and say, hey, I'm praying for you tonight. You seemed really distracted. I said hi to you, and you didn't even respond. And you never know, they might say, you know what, I got this news or got that. And we can never get to that level if we don't live together. This is supposed to be done together. Amen. How many believe living as a Christian is better if we live it together? Amen. The Christ community, and it's all about love, and it's all about Jesus. And that's why we must keep our mind on Him, so He can live through us. Amen. I'll be honest with you, there will be times I'll get so distracted by what I have on my mind, my task, my job ahead of me, that I'll walk downstairs and I'm thinking of a million different things, and is this going to run and that going to run, is this going to do that, and I'll just walk right down here, start getting things ready for service. And it's not because I'm trying to ignore you or anything else, it's because I've just got a million things going through my mind. We need to see one another as the Christ community, and don't read our problem insecurities into other people's reactions. Let's live together. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. How many believe it's important we live together? Do you believe that? How many have a testimony tonight that you would say, you know what? I have either been hurt by someone in the church before, or, Pastor, I've hurt people in the church before. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on just one. I put both of them out there, so you're safe, and we're not going to ask you to identify any of it. How many of you have that testimony? Will you raise your hand? And my hand's up, because I've been involved in both. I'll just tell you. Amen? And so, we're living testimonies of this, but there's a better way to live together, and it's called Christ, Him living in us. Until our church body, the community, looks like this. Because the Spirit of God has made us whole and complete. I want to tell you, if River Life becomes a complete body of Christ, we become that body that values and that cares and that views one another and benefits one another, this place will fill up with people hungry for Jesus. Amen. Because the world needs that.